The fact that I was even dancing alone, I was already a show. So,
oh my God.
I was already a show.
You ask me where I get all my energy from. From the stage, to the studio, and to my desk. I am the energy god. And you can be one too.
You're listening to Adeshokpe Live, the Afrobeat podcast. Right.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to a brand new edition of Adeshokpe Live, the official Afrobeats podcast, where we break down the hottest topics within the culture. And sometimes I'm joined by a special guest to join me and speak one-on-one. As always, this is brought to you by the Energy God Energy Drink. Drink and be yourself for us, by us. Make sure you go to energygod.com. And always make sure you click on the subscription button if you haven't subscribed yet. Let's get the numbers going up. The bigger our platform becomes, the better we're in position to support our people without waiting for others. My name is Adeshokpe Olaji, and joining me all the way from the USA via Lagos, Nigeria, Festac Town to be exact.
Festac was where I was born.
Exactly. That's
but
where
I
you were born. No. Well, okay. Festac Town via Surulere.
Period.
Give it up for the lovely Cora.
Wasaibo.
Listen. It's a pleasure to finally see you.
Thank you.
You're in London for the first time.
Yes.
You're dressed like it's peak of summer. How are you?
I mean, I have my jacket over there somewhere, to, you know, when I get cold. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I don't dress vanilla, you know that.
That's one of the topics that we'll talk about. First of all, how are you doing? You look amazing.
Thank you. I'm well. I'm thriving. I'm grateful. Very grateful.
Through social media, we all know you have two lovely angels. How are the angels doing?
My angels are angeling. I'm just grateful that I have those girls in my life, you know. Went through hell and back to make sure that I had them, but, absolutely, you know, it is what it is.
Like I said, when I saw you personally, a lot of people would probably just know you, especially recently for social media and social media activities, dancing, your outfits, you know, whatever's happened. But there's a long history before the public domain on Instagram and Facebook, a history that touches a little bit on dance, music, modeling. I'd like us to get into that first. Talk to me about where you're born and raised. I said, Festac, talk to me a little bit about that.
So I was born in Festac.
Yes.
In the General Hospital. Yes.
Yeah.
I was told that my dad didn't even come because I was his third girl. And I was like, damn! You know,
typical, but, like, you know, that guy. Sometimes.
But I was born in Festac, and then I lived in Iba Housing Estate. This is an estate reserved, the government reserved area for the accountants and people that run. My father used to be an accountant in one of the biggest banks then. And yeah, we were just a regular suburban family. Mm. Went to the strictest cult-like church, Deepa Life Bible Church.
Oh my God, Deepa Life.
I was born and raised.
And look at you now.
Oh my gosh, do not do that to your kids, guys. It would F them up forever.
No way.
You know, so anyway, we went through that. And then abruptly, my mom just passed from cancer. So that kind of like rocked our boat.
Were you a teenager then?
Just hitting the teens.
Wow.
And so we moved. We moved to Surulere, where everything started. And life started. I started to dance. I started to sing. Started to go to talent shows.
I mentioned Festac. And, you know, Festac, to a lot of us that grew up in Nigeria, that followed the Afrobeats culture, has produced some of the greatest musicians, you know. The late Sound Sultan, the incredible Two-Face Idibia, the list goes on. Was there any point when you were in Festac that you felt or saw a little bit of that, you know, superstardom, or understood that Festac was brewing young talented artists?
I never was privy to that. Growing up, I was very
sheltered.
Sheltered is not the word. I was in a bunker, basically. You couldn't go. I couldn't even play. Like, I would look from my window downstairs to other kids playing, and I would just be crying and wishing I could, but I couldn't, you know? It was like, it was ridiculous. I had German tutors. I had, you know, my family was so, my mother made my yogurt from scratch.
Wow.
So it was not the regular, it was like really strict suburban Nigerian family. Just take it like that. Mm. You know, in the middle of nowhere, Eberhausen Estate is like, I see a few people who we grew up together. I'm like, oh my God, this is what I would have been if we didn't move out of there, you know?
No way.
It's crazy. You know, yeah, but yeah.
So when you went to Surulere, mm-hmm. you know, obviously that was probably when you got into secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the dance start for you? What did you see? Where did that start?
First, it would be when we started getting allowed to watch TV, because, you know.
Deepa Life don't watch TV.
So I was like, I saw Shakira and I was like,
wow.
You know, like I almost died. You know, when I saw her and whatever, I was like, this is a human being. You know, I couldn't believe. And then I remember being so obsessed with the lyrics that I would write it everywhere on the school board. I was when they gave me 21 strokes from a soldier because I was in military school as well. And yeah, I was obsessed with Shakira. That was my first exposure to like singing and dancing. I just wanted to be everything Shakira. I loved her so much. You know, she was like my idol. And then we moved to Surulere. My father got married again to someone who had older sons. And all the boys were like on the streets. They're like, you know. So I'm like, I want to come with you. I want to come with you. Please, can I go with you? You know, so when they're doing the next generation, next party or the talent hunt show, let's put up a choreo. Oh my God, let's do a choreo to Imagine That. Aviva, we'll do that. We'll go show in church, you know. And I started from church. From church, moved into Unileg. Unileg started from fellowship. You know how you do fellowship dance group? Yeah, I was in Suriname fellowship dance group. I was in, you name it, I was in every dance group.
What were you studying at Unileg?
Business education. And I finished with a second class upper.
Okay, talk.
I was danced at every slightest opportunity. I remember stalking a guy that I saw in the sports center because he was doing a style of dance I had never seen in Nigeria, and he was doing the cucaracha. And this is like
the cucaracha.
The cucaracha is from Latin ballroom, and it's like the cha cha.
The cha 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 with the waist and everything.
So he was doing it. I was obsessed. I knew that I loved dance. I would go to the ends of the earth to learn dance. I was going to a temple in Ilikpeju, where the Indians would go and do the Hare Krishna, just to learn an ancient Indian style of dance.
No kidding.
Like,
did you pay for that?
No. No, I would just make sure that I bow to my teacher, you know, make sure that the teacher knows that I want to learn from you. The thing about people is you don't give reference to the people that you want to learn from. Mm. You think that you can just pay money and then get it, you know, transactional. But I know of the spiritual connection a teacher has with a student. And I know what it takes for you to pour into another human from your cup. So I make sure that when I was even learning dance in all the places that I learned dance from, I would clean the mirrors. I would sweep the studio. Like, I'm that crazy, you know. Even when I wanted to get my first studio time, I would clean the studio for studio time, that sort of thing. And yeah, I believe in that spiritual transaction. I believe that the teacher needs to want to teach me for me to learn. And although in modern society it's been very transactionalized, I know that your teacher is your path to enlightenment. And choosing your teacher is almost as important as choosing your life partner.
Wow.
Yeah. So not just dance, in music, choosing your mentors, choosing, you know, it's very important. It's everything.
What was, at the time when you were so passionate about dance, obviously going to university, studying at the same time, but you had this love for dance, what was the ultimate goal in your mind?
To be able to dance.
Professionally? Or just to be?
Just to be able to survive from just doing what I love.
Mm.
The fact that I was even dancing alone, I was already ashebo. So
oh my God.
I was already ashebo. So I was just like, okay, ashebo, I'll take it. I accept it. You know, even if I was wearing the most covered dancer, ashebo, kobo is what they will call you. So I was already like, okay, I just want to be able to dance. I just want to be able to sing. I just want to do these things that I love so much and be able to survive doing it. I've seen people, Shakira, she doesn't have any other job. All she does is dance and sing.
Yep.
I can do it, you know. So just to be able to do what I love and say that's what I was. What are you? I'm a professional dancer and singer. It was a flex for me.
Wow.
And I had to fight my family, number one, first of all. My father already had my seat in the bank before I even finished, you know, now.
Yeah.
So just not doing that, just not, just like working in the bank for like less than 2 months and quitting was like one of the hardest things. It was heartbreaking for him.
Mm.
It was heartbreaking for me to do that to him. And then being absolutely broke, so broke that my sister had to like say, dude, like you're gonna have to get a job. You're broke. Like you're like going to sports center every day. You're dancing from morning till night. You barely even eat. You eat once a day. You look so skinny and stupid. And what are you doing? Your skill level. What is your skill level?
How can you even grade it?
What skill level? Who's gonna pay for this skill that you're doing? Skill level? Are you crazy? You need to get out of here. And so she sent me to China with her ex-husband.
She sent you to where?
China. To go do my master's. Yeah.
You did your master's in China?
Got there and I broke their hearts.
There seems to be a continuous theme of heartbreaking.
I mean, everybody who wants me to do something else, I'm just like, I just end up breaking their hearts. Like, broke my father's heart, broke my sister's heart, broke my ex-husband's heart. I just keep breaking because you want me to be something that I'm not. I am this.
How difficult has it been for you to walk your own path, to choose your own lane, even though there are other things that people imagined for you as a human being?
If you don't know yourself, you will be an instrument to someone who knows themselves.
Mm.
It took me a long time to know myself. But once I did, there wasn't any convincing me that I wasn't that person, you know? And so I broke a lot of hearts of people who thought they knew me in the essence that they thought they knew me. It's like, that's your truth, but that's not mine, you know? So I refused to be an instrument to a lot of people. I refused to be a masseuse. I refused to be a banker to my dad. I refused to be a teacher that my mom wanted me to be. I just wanted to sing and dance because I knew that was what was my inner essence. And till today, I struggle with the guilt of breaking their hearts, but there's fulfillment in knowing that I eventually did what I wanted to do, and I'm not begging anyone for money to survive. You know, I did it, and I fought to be this. So when you fight for something, imagine when you fight, then you're not getting, you're not working hard.
You wanted to be here.
You want to tell your Cora, your release is not, you're not sleeping for 3 days on your release day. You'd be like, of course, why would I sleep? Hello, coffee, because this is what I wanted. Mm. I struggled for it, you know. They say, hello, you are booked here, 333, eh?
Yes, back home, cool.
Let's go. You make it happen because there's no excuse when you choose something. They give you. You now go and why will you land on the streets when they when you chose it?
Dance was the start of this struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But there's music. So where did you decide to add the singing to it and, you know, and aspire to be a singer? How did that start?
It was there from the jump. It was always there from when I was like 10 years old. I used to sing. We used to turn circular songs to Christian songs.
Mm.
I and my sisters. It was there, but I didn't have the guts. And dance used to pay. So when you back up dance, you have some money. I needed the money. So I just ignored the music because everything I saw about music is point money. Everybody's collecting money from the artist. Collecting from the artist. Where is the artist coming, making money from? Nobody knows. The show itself, they're asking him to do for free. They're asking, you know, so I was just like, I beg of me, I know, yeah. Come here, count bridge. You know, I need to make money. So the first thing that I could see money coming out from was dance. I'll dance for you. Oh, 15K, okay, let's go. You know, where is it? It's Badon. Okay, we're going to have bus, no problem. You know, that was the hustle then. And it was pain because my father had offered a job that was about 150,000 naira that I had made in one job, one gig, dancing for the National Sports Festival, you know? Mm. So this is like hustle, where they see money, they come out from. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to dance. Even if I look like a scruff, you should leave me alone.
So you know? Who were you doing? Who are some of the names that you were a backup dancer for?
I backed up for Banky W. True. Hey, those days. I backed up for Sasha P.
Wow.
You know, the legendary rapper.
Wow, absolutely.
I backed up. I've done dance for... What's his name? Orezi.
Call me Orezi.
Orezi on the microphone, you know, so we like to dance. I've done for Iyanya in his music video, in his stage performance. I've done. Name them, I've done. Trust and believe, I've done.
Now, with all these guys, these artists that you've danced alongside, these are also people that you consider to be your colleagues in the singing industry. Was there any one of them that whilst you were dancing, you just said, you know, by the way, you know, I can also sing?
Sound Sultan. And he was the only one who gave me a feature.
Wow. He gave you a feature?
He gave me a feature. He's my only feature. Go check my discography. He's a pass. It's featuring Sound Sultan. I will never forget him. Icon, legend, forever. I don't want to cry.
Wow.
Every other person gets carried away with the ego of the side of things. For me, ego is the enemy. I hate ego. I hate... In fact, when I'm blowing, I just go and keep myself inside some place. Like, because
just
I don't
to
want
make
it.
Sure that
that
your
fame,
ego...
That fame, it enter. It enter. No matter how big you are, it enter. Before you know, you'll be like, I'm Asgard, I'm God. And you're not. You know? So, like, check the ego, you know? But not a lot of people know this. I read a book called Ego is the Enemy a long time ago. So I saw the workings of ego before I even got any clout. So I was like, hey, I see you. I spot you. I'm moving to the left. I'm dodging. I'm weaving. You never are bigger than yourself. You cannot be more than what you are. You know. So I always dodge the ego. But a lot of artists, I remember dancing with, I will not even name his name now because right now he's like, you know, but like, I wanted to even take a picture, like a little smell. You know, now when you're dancing, you're sweating now, you're like, but I'm dancing for your project, guy.
But like, that person is no longer a superstar now.
Can't even talk to me now. He can't, he's in my DM now.
God damn it.
But when I wanted to take a picture with him, I was a smell. I better go, that shift. You did sweat.
I say it all the time that I've seen, you know, people, kings that were rolling with chariots of fire. 10, 15 years ago. But today they walk past people and nobody recognizes them.
That's the thing
them.
About fame. Fame is very fleeting. It's only for a short time. You can never be there permanently. Except people like Davido that every day will be shocking us with the way he's keeping up with the fame. But it's really hard for you to continuously have fame. When it hits you, what do you want to do with it? For me, I know what I want to do with it. Though. I want to help my women because we are suffering some things that we really keep quiet about. You know, once it hits, I'll just first slap that message first, boom. And then if the fame wants to stay. If it wants to go, go. But fame is nobody for keeps. It's not anybody's. And it's the most addictive drug. And you'll be like, oh, no, I'm doing it for the middle. You know, honey, you're really clout chasing out here. Like, you're like,
You're chasing the drug, the high.
Mm-hmm, the high. And the real people that love you, sometimes when that high comes, they don't like it. Mm. You know, they're like, I beg. Because they see you, you're stressing. And like, they're like, the people who really love you, they're like, dude, why are you chasing this thing? Because you always are stressed out of your mind. You're not yourself. Your talent is not even thriving. You're just all over the place. And, you know, yeah, fame is an addictive drug.
Well, you had the start in Nigeria, dance, music, trying to get your name out there. And then the next phase was you went to America. You moved to America with your family. First of all, talk to me about changing location. What did that do to your dream? Was it something where, you know, the fact that you moved to America, now for a lot of us, this is it. Yankee is a go. We're right here. Let me get to the money. It's about to happen. What were you thinking at the time? And what was that change like for you?
It depends on you as an individual and your mindset. Mm. For some people, once I get to Yankee, that's their mindset. Once I get to Yankee. For me, I was born and bred in Lagos. anything I want in Lagos, I can get it. Snake oil, I can get it in Lagos, you know? So when I moved to a new place.
And you didn't know.
I don't know. Nobody. I mean, marriage. A marriage where you can't. It was like my home, like my childhood home reinvented in America, you know? I cannot really like, you know, over network, you know? So I had to start from scratch. I had to start from the bottom. Because if you tell most Nigerian artists, I beg, make I say my vocals, make you say, oh, God, come studio, I beg, shift, you know? And so, they'll not start asking you for ridiculous prices. Like, to record now, they'll start telling you 1 million something. Me and my mom, I don't even, see, when I moved to America, I didn't have a work permit. So for the first time in a long time, me that I'm used to the hustle, I had nothing.
You couldn't work. You had to wait for that.
I love about social media, it changed my life. I started posting my videos that I would go and regularly do for artists online. I started for free. You know, I like your song, I dance to it. I like my own song, I dance to it. I was posting every day. Social media gave me work inside my house because I can finish breastfeeding. Nobody knows. I close Bobby and I come and dance. 5 minutes, I post it. Oh my gosh, you know, she's still alive. You know? And so I really appreciate social media for that. That transition, social media was very key, especially in the connecting, because I was isolated in another place.
And you were
away. Although it was in the heart of Hollywood, it was also very isolating. I knew nobody. I was barely going out of the house because I just had a kid. And I was in a box, basically. So adaptability and just surviving that just tells me, you know, you really are what you think you are. If you don't have the mindset that you have no choice, you can really go haywire. And I can see how many people come to Hollywood and just take to drugs. They start waiting tables and the dream just becomes...
Because the dream is too far away.
You think that you're coming to Hollywood that is closer.
Anywhere, but it's far.
It's not closer. It's better for you to go in the source, Lagos. Anything can happen in Lagos. But when you're in Hollywood, you don't know cliques until you know Hollywood. You can be there for 25 years and then you meet the right person and it's boom. You don't know cliques. You know, you have no clue of what a caucus is until you were in Hollywood. You know what I mean? So if you're not out every night networking vigorously, like viciously pushing your stuff, you go did dear, you go bembe. You know, you're going to be there for a while. And moving funny with the wrong crowd again.
That can ruin you again.
So sometimes it's better for you to be on your own. Thank God for social media. So me, I was just pushing my stuff with social media, vetting the right people that send me emails, you know, collabing with the right people. And just doing my thing.
You mentioned vigorously networking. And before we started recording, you touched on being at the Grammy Awards, being on the floor level with the superstars. And you noticed the great Maluma working the room. Talk to me about that experience and what you learned from seeing him move the way he was moving.
Maluma was moving like someone who came there with a strategy. Maluma wasn't moving crazy funny. He was moving strategically. As soon as a celebrity walks into the room, he's out there smiling, shaking hands, and right as he is shaking, there's footage of it. He was walking with his crew. They were with him. Lights, camera. Hi, Beyonce, Jay-Z. That handshake and the impression of that connection is everything he needs.
His money. Run.
And so, like, for someone who, okay, look at me, I was there, but I didn't come prepared with the lights, camera, and even if I shake Maluma, there's no evidence.
Nobody to take the picture.
You go explain Taya. You understand? So it's like, damn, this guy is big, like millions big.
Super, superstar.
He's not out here like...
waiting for people to say hello.
This guy, in fact, I'm sure if I was in his way, wow, Queen, you're good, you know? Even if his English not so good, not so good looking, he was there. He was like... vigorously networking. And this guy is huge.
Superstar.
So tell me, if Maluma is in the network, who are we to the network? And there's this impression, women, you should sit down. You look thirsty. You look good. Sit down for
nobody
who?
Nobody cares.
Who's going to save you? sit down and do a form pretty. I don't do. So your brand will be sitting down there. You'll be sitting down. You're right next to this. You're right next to that. You're like, they'll talk to me. Impressions matter. The way they look at me.
No.
Who said your mama left Nyash? If I'm with you, I'm playing my song. You can't help in my song. You know what? Guess what? I have 12 million followers. Do you have anything you want me to push? I go carry on for my head. Like, say,
so there's something we can talk about.
There's always something I can offer you. My value is in every facet. If you don't like my music, you like my personality. If you don't like my personality, you go like my dance. I didn't shake your ass, gone. If you don't like my dance, you like something. Got two kids to feed. I'm not out here just trying to make friends and be cute. You know what I mean? This is entertainment business. It's a multi-million dollar business.
Billion-dollar business.
You're out here like, see, I was right next to him, but I don't even like, I don't be, hello.
Nobody cares.
But you know, different people, different, you know, thirst, hunger. Some people are not hungry.
You mentioned you're a single mom with two angels to feed. We already saw you. We're very public about your marriage and the separation. Talk to me about you now being a single mom with everything you've been through, you know, the ups and downs, the rights, the wrongs. First of all, what did you learn from that whole situation? And what is it like being the one, you know, that's taking care of your kids now? You're, you know, you're basically, you know, You're the main breadwinner, you know, because you're the one with the babies, right? Talk to me about that.
I got
that.
Them. We got shared custody. Yeah.
What'd you learn from that whole situation?
Takes two to tango. Nobody is right. Nobody is wrong. When it comes to two kids, when two elephants are fighting, it's the ground that suffers.
Facts.
So at some point, it was a battle of lawyers. I did the math. $87,000 later. And these lawyers were still trying to say, your ex-husband said, I'm like, you're a witch. Because you just want us to keep fighting so that you can keep making money. It's a game.
No way.
So I was like, you know, at this point, I'm done fighting. I don't want to fight anymore. Because they will string you and they will rip you of everything that's supposed to be your kids. If I ever get married again in the future, it will be a peaceful separation. If you want to start doing lawyer, you know?
Let's try to sort it out ourselves.
But you're on your own. Carry lawyer. What do you want to do? You want the kids permanently? They will still ask for their children, their mothers. That lawyer thing, one of the worst things that can ever happen to anybody. When you go into that lawyer battle, back to back with lawyer, all the, every
because
month.
It's basically they're fighting for their own bread and butter.
Every month. In fact, for the guy to leave my case, hello, drop the case. No, you still need me. I don't need you anymore. It was even a fight to get my... Because wow. Every month they have your account information. They just deduct the lawyer fees automatically.
Wow.
You go just to see your money. So at that point, I had no choice but to talk about the divorce because there was no way I could have survived the pain of those lawyers if I wasn't
not
public about
money.
It. So it was just like, whoa. Use your brain, Cora. It's either you're talking about this or you're in debt for the rest of your life because you got divorced and then your children go to the shoddiest schools and they don't even... So I was just like, since you carry me come outside, may all of us foul nyash don't open. May all of us dance for inside masquerade party. You know, so I'm going to use this as a catalyst. And that's what I did. I used the press. They were talking. People were trying to interview me. You didn't reach out, but everybody reached out.
No way.
They were trying to talk about it. I was like, you guys want to know? Buy my book. You know, I was very meticulous about it because at the end of the day, my daughters will not beg after I give all the information for free. No, I made 40 grand off my book and I'm still making.
Selling the book?
Yeah, on Amazon. You can go get it. You see, you hear my own side of the story. Cora, we just need to hear. Will you tell us what? Tell you what? Go and read my book. Because you don't really care. Do you care about my kids and I? No. Tomorrow, if Cora start a shower, where did they call me a shower since I don't start this industry? If I now start the real shower now, when I go say, I told you.
Yeah.
I told you she was a shower. But if I come outside now, go fund me. We cannot eat though. We cannot eat. Ah, look at this one. They slap you. Instead of you make you sit down for dinner, when they slap you, shall you die? You see, so it's crazy. Mm. So I had to use my brain. Hello, Cora. They don't love you like that. You're buzzing right now. The news is fresh. They need the details. So you got to do what you got to do.
What about now? If you get into any kind of relationship, would you make your personal relationship public?
Try not to, no. I think that with the lesson that I learned from it, it was so public because it was so public in the first place. You know, it was a social media relationship, kind of. Everybody was living vicariously through us. You know, so that's why the divorce was like so loud, messy. You know, messy. There was even no controlling it. It was going like wildfire. Mm. Even if you want to, it was no. So me, I was just in the ride because I couldn't control it. Narrations, different narrations of what happened, different things. I had to clean my reputation. I had to even call Slim Kiss. Hello, shall we do threesome? You know, that kind of thing because of how bad it got, really. Like so it was like, it was really
what
bad.
What about mentally? Yeah, because you mentioned that you had to even call Slim Kiss to say, because even sometimes you read some stuff about yourself that you will be confused that, was it actually true?
No,
What was the mental impact?
I learned from experience that therapy is not a luxury.
It's a necessity.
If you do anyhow, you go see anyhow, you end up in the lungu. You go end up for Yaba left. Because when Nigerians want to troll you, when they take your matter seriously, if you like, don't get professional help. They drag me. I know I wasn't online, but I was hot. It's the energy. When they drag you by the hair, use you drag streets. Look at the naked idiot. There's nothing I didn't hear. Even some people sometimes, I'll just get a random person come up on my live and say, I just want to say I'm sorry for all the things I said. And I said, I don't even hear you because me, I was getting therapy. Hmm. I was like, you people will be all right. When I got my house for my girls, when I finally, you know, tried to settle down, I saw people coming around like, okay, maybe.
She wasn't that bad.
You know? But in the heat of it, the only thing I could do was monetize it for my sanity. When they are calling me, dragging me, I say, at least I'll check my account balance. Okay.
We move. Money day.
We move. You know, that was the only thing that was keeping me going with the dragging. And I thank God for, you know, at least a background in business to know how to navigate those waters. And definitely advice from my kingsmen. I told you I'm from the royal family. So this was very bad for my reputation. We don't have a lot. You will say we are the ones that spray money on the street, but we have a good name. So when this whole Cora Obidi, my last name is on my name, dragging with my last name everywhere, it was very bad. There were meetings.
What was the family? Yeah, extended family.
Yeah, it was like, but the thing is, once, you know, the push came to shove,
they had to stand by their own.
You know, they go back there. Oh, you're not going back there. Because there was a lot of things I used to hide. My sister was like, hey, I'm telling everything. So once everything came to the light, you're out. And once I was out, it was like, I showed up at the courtroom. 5 elder men, my Diokpa, my clan. I have a whole tribe that I didn't even know existed in Los Angeles. You know, wow. They just showed up at the courts. I felt like, oh my God. I just was like, Obakwesi, Odogu, Ojogu. I didn't even know that these people were here, you know? And it's just like the beauty of tribe. Mm. And I just felt like, because I felt like I was alone, you know? No, I was not alone, far from alone, you know? And it just made me feel, even when we were going through the divorce proceedings and just the look on his face with like 7 adults all leaving their work to come.
To come and stand.
You know, it was like, you know, so.
Now you've moved on. There was a video I saw once that was so funny. It was during the pandemic. Like, I think it was the Black Lives Matter war.
What?
And you came through, Lord knows what you were wearing or what you weren't wearing. God damn it, man. I said, this girl bugging, man. In LA, that would be normal. Kind of like that, you know, you're not doing anything out of place in places like LA.
That's one beauty about living in LA. Self-expression is celebrated.
Mm.
Yeah, you can be whatever sex, you can be whatever you are. You know, even Nigeria, we're almost like you.
Lagos.
You know, self-expression is celebrated. It's not watered down. It's not bitten out of you. It's not delivered out of you, you know? your art is celebrated. Because many people have come to LA and made bank for their families for generations with just being themselves and self-expression.
Facts.
There are many people that live via other people's art and expressions. So you can't say, I'm not in Nigeria, I'm in a nude society. That alone got me a huge fan base in the black community because I was out here married to a white man, but on Black Lives Matter Day, I'm out here with my placard like, Black Lives Matter. It was a thing. Like, who is this girl? Okay, I'm going to follow her, you know? So it was good. And you don't get a lot of free press in the U.S. except on protests like that. What are you going to do with it? And with me, my background in business, I know that
every
I'm not, it's either you have $1,500 for a press release campaign that probably won't go anywhere, or you take advantage of the things around you, like events like that. So I'm going to be out here pushing the narrative, not making it about me, but making sure that I stand out while I do it. And that's what I did with the Black Lives Matter movement. Of course, Nigerians, you know, as I expected, my mothers and my aunties. I first warned my people. I warned them, hello, I'm about to go crazy. They were like, oh, God, okay, I'm private in my account. You know? You know, and I move. That's how I move, you know. You have to move. I've done this without any label. I've done this without any, I've not done it without help. I've had a lot of help. But I've done it without any big, you know,
support,
huge investment.
Yeah.
Like, boom, this is the artist, everybody, you know. And I'm still relevant. Somehow, it's just God that gives the opportunities. And I remember that nothing is free. And no one really cares like that. Too. So,
do you think once in a while that what is it about me that still makes me stand out? Because you do. You still stand out. You weathered the storm of the public divorce, public relationship, you still stand out. You know, dancing with it, you still stand out. You still stand out. Now I saw you coming into the UK and all of a sudden, boom, immigration were trying to stop you because some people might have called immigration to say, oh, she shouldn't come in or stop. You still stand out. What is it about Cora Beattie?
That's the star thing now. Like, people stand out and people don't. You can see it now. Sometimes when you're even a parent, you have kids, you see the star there.
Yes.
That will be standing out. Everywhere you go, they'll just be standing out. Also, I think that it's not like I stand out. I just don't want to be regular now. Like, you have to make an effort. I'm afraid of dying and nobody remembers that I was on this planet.
Impact.
I just want to, you know... The things I care about, I want to use my talents to talk about them, and I want to be remembered. So I think that also helps with the standing out. And I also prayed for this for a long time. When I was a little girl, I wanted this. So there's no like, oh, I'm just standing out because, oh, I'm so perfect. And then, no, it's active work. And it's not just active work. It's a passion. I don't think I cannot not stand out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy when I stand out, when my voice is heard. And I will always choose happiness. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. Different people, there's some people who are not made for that. They're made to help people who stand out.
Facts.
Their attention to detail is what makes somebody stand out. They're blessed with that capacity. And there's some people who are blessed to be in the light. Like for me, I wake up in the morning on a live video. I can like open my eyes, go live and start making money. In fact, my people, I would say, my mouth is smelling. Oh, can you smell it for me? Do you know how crazy that is?
Yeah.
I think that is just so beautiful in 2024 to be able to connect in such a personal level and also stand out from wherever you are.
Right.
And I love that, you know? And it doesn't take anything from me. But when you're not made for it, it drains you. You're drained. You're like, I can't do this. I can't. Maybe you probably lied to yourself. I can't be an actor.
Yeah.
But
when the work comes now.
You say you are a superstar now. What's going on?
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to be live 3 times a day,
yeah,
old brother.
Yeah.
You know? Except you don't want to grow fast. And this is all you. A battle against you and the algorithm. It's not you versus anybody. It's you versus yourself. Constant improvement, innovation, and keep showing up consistently. It's you versus the algorithm on every platform.
Every level.
YouTube is different. Facebook is different. TikTok is a
Spotify,
different battle. It's, you know, so you're out here like, oh, you should know that I'm a snake. No, nobody
you
knows
need to
that
walk it.
You have to walk. Who cares?
2024, now you're on holiday, but you're working. What is new now? What are we pushing now? What should people expect from Cora in 2024?
I think that I only right now beginning to break into Nigeria as an artist. Like, they've never wanted to reconcile with the fact that I was Nigerians, once you come out like just change it.
Yeah.
Just don't change it. Don't try it.
This guy I dance now.
Let's be singer. Come out for you. You know, like, this is Nigeria for you. Yeah. They don't like change like that. So I had to, kind of like you're feeding, you're trying to transition a baby from breast milk to food. I've been slipping my music into the dance. Not that I will not stop cold turkey and stop dancing for them now. What is it?
I've been
slipping my music in there. I'll dance like, I would dance for my music. Say,
this song is sweet,
my baby. You show me this song where they dance. You know, that's how you get into. So that's how I've been doing it. And slowly, but surely, it's not very easy. Somebody even said, Mumu, now let's sing. You sabi sing. I say, yeah.
You won.
He was trolling me, but he said sing.
You
I was like,
won.
No. Yo, you're joking. Yo, you know, like, I won. You know, like, Omar. You know, so just being acknowledged as an artist, even if I'm dancing as an artist. And there's so much massive love from this station called Afro Pop in Nigeria, Afro Pop TV. Please, guys. Just help me thank them. I see my video on there on PSTV. I've never talked to the person on the. I see my way. I see OB. I see all my music videos. I have a dance background. My music videos are always fire, with the dance. You know,
add
man,
I'm not
a joke. You understand? So my music video is not just going to be me chilling. I'm a bad guy. No. You know, it's gonna be
working.
If you see the dance, you're gonna say that 20 hours at least for Riaza, you know, that kind of thing. So just seeing it being shown love in Nigeria itself is massive. This is the only year. You know, Nigerian artists, they're very proud.
Yeah.
I'm on a song with Big Slim. Slim Case.
Wow.
And Magneto.
Yeah, that's my brother.
Magneto is the best northern rapper from the north.
Serious.
Period. Canada. You know?
Yeah, serious.
So it's like, for me to be even in that caliber, I don't take it for granted because it's a fact.
Now your peers are acknowledging your talent to put you on a record. That means something.
Everything to me. Because it's not just, Cora, I needed to shake your bum bum for my song.
Now it's for our song. Now,
Cora, you go shake your show.
You go jump for this song.
You go shake your show.
You have to push.
You don't understand.
That's amazing.
So, and it feels good to be featured as a featured artist. It's a step. It's like two kids down, and you're still pushing. Sweating. You know, yeah. I'm giving myself a tap on my back.
Absolutely. You know? Listen, I could talk to you. I see now that I can talk to you for a while. there's so many facets to you. I'm very happy that you came in. It's an incredible story. I think now I can appreciate that, having met you in person and listening to you speak yourself. I think there's a completely different feel to that. There's a completely different element to it. I think a lot more people should actually sit down and talk to you.
I just don't give interviews, though.
No,
I think this is my first interview.
It might not be an interview, but just a conversation. Because perception sometimes might, you know, what we see on social media, what we hear, we might not admit that it influences us, but in a way, it could cloud your judgment.
Mm.
But sometimes a little hello, a conversation just gives you an insight into someone's world. And I appreciate this much insight that you've given me. Congratulations on the Angels. Congratulations on pushing hard. The outfits are always crazy. We're going to say that. He said my ex is my biggest fan.
You already know who they play with. Hey, it shows.
You got a new single out right now. Featured on the record with Slim Case and, of course,
let's try this
Magneto. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the incredible Cora Obidi.
It's smelling nice. Wow. It's giving Red Bull, but with a bang.
Exactly, with black energy.
Mm.
That's nice, right?
Sheesh.
That's it.
That's crazy.
That's the vibe.
I love it.
That's the vibe.
I'm drinking this tonight.
Come
I think
on.
I'm not gonna sleep this night though.
Let's go.
It just gives it too much energy.
Nah, okay. That's good. That's the whole thing.
The Afrobeats Podcast.
Right.